Do you come?
The Lord is good.
Go quickly to the book of Psalms 23 again. I will use that one again to explain. I want to teach us something here on how Christians should pray for themselves. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. He restores my soul. That's Psalm 23. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then again, we read all this since last. I just want to read some things to recall, some things to mind for us. Psalm 91. I just want to read one line there or two. From verse 1, it says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I like the way King James says verse 2, and many translations say that too. It said, I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. One more scripture, and then I will say what I want to say. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, from verse 5. It said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, now notice verse 5, God made a statement. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never desert you. It's now said in verse 6, for that reason, we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Now, please notice the relationship there. God made a statement, and based upon what God said, we now make statements. The Bible says that death and life, all right, are in the power of the tongue, and the one who loves it will eat the fruit thereof. Now, please, bear those things in mind. I like one thing that Solomon said in the book of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 4. It's a book of Solomon. Did I say that? Book of Proverbs chapter 4. It said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of that heart flows forth the springs of the issues of life. And out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. That is, the springs of life flow forth through the mouth. Now, I want to bring out something here for us to understand how Christians are supposed to pray for themselves. Now, I'd like to tell this story first, and then you'll understand what I'm going to explain. The Bible will tell you that pray without ceasing. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. You should do what? Pray without ceasing. You know what that means? Pray continually. Now, how is it possible for a man? Now, how would somebody pray without ceasing? Is that okay? Now, I want to understand something. I said there's a story I'm going to tell, and it will help us relate to what I want to explain. Now, Kenneth Hagin is a man I read his materials a lot, and he taught a lot about faith. And he used to do a lot of, he said those days as a young preacher, he used to fast twice a week. And then, occasionally, it never happened that he would fast more than 3 days. He only went in there to seek the face of God concerning something, trying to make some decisions. Then he might take two or 3 days. He said usually by the second day, most times, he will have gotten an answer. Usually he's making an inquiry. Do you understand? I told you before that fasts are meant to focus you on spiritual things, not to increase the potency of your prayer. All right? So he said usually when he's on a fast like that, he's asking questions. He has something he's trying to find out. Like there was a time that he was in a church, and the church was prospering, and he was prospering. What I mean by prospering for the church is that the attendance of the church was growing. They were the largest number they had ever been. And personally, he was prospering in that he was ministering. People were getting blessed. And he was earning more money than he had ever earned in his life, and he was living in a house bigger than he had ever lived in his life. He was more comfortable than he ever had been in his life, but he was not satisfied. He said something was just wrong, and he didn't know what was wrong, so he took a few days out to go and pray. At the end of it, he realized that God said to him that you were not called to be a pastor to begin with. So he resigned from that comfortable position and went back into an uncomfortable lifestyle. Do you understand? Remember what we said last time about following God totally, consecrating your life totally to God. Eventually, of course, the man prospered materially, okay? But for some years, he was just going around. Things were rougher than they used to be, but at least he was doing what he was supposed to do. Is that okay? Now, so he said he used to do that, talking about fasting periodically. He said that one day, the Holy Spirit said to him that it would have been better, let me put it in my own words now, that if you lived a fasted life, then this is your periodic fasting. Now, he had never heard that expression before. All right? Now, what do you mean by living a fasted life? Let me summarize it. That this is your fast that you do periodically. Just spread it out and do it continually. Now, if you have ever... This is just by the way, but to help you understand what I want to say. Some of our brethren already does this and decided to live a fasted life. And what did they mean by fasted life? Now, this was what the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin, that if it's a matter of food, they were talking on food matters now, fast. That don't just eat all you want to, all right? Just eat a bit and leave it, you know, but just, you don't have to stop eating. Eat continually, but very little, and let your heart always be kind of not overcome with wine. Let me use that expression now. I'm not saying it was drinking, but I mean, don't be overcome by too much enjoyment. I'm using my own words now to describe these things to you. Now, if you ever saw Kenneth Hagin, he never succeeded in being slim. Since God healed him from his heart condition as a young boy, all right? He kept on increasing in size, and he was a big man in his later days, all right? Now, that's the man who was living a fasted life. Are you getting my point? When we're on campus, a lot of our brethren decided to live fasted life because they read it from Kenneth Hagin, unfortunately. Then, as young as I was, I looked and said, bros, I don't think people get it. You were fasting before you read Kenneth Hagin. You just didn't know it. I don't know whether you get the point. That is an American meal. Americans are the second fattest group of people on the earth, beaten only by those from Tonga. All right? So when the Lord spoke to him, an American, to start living a fasted life, he didn't speak to a Nigerian. You know, I don't know whether you get my point. But it's good to learn the spirit behind what was said rather than just copying the act. And the spirit behind it, I want to discuss, okay? What the Lord spoke to him essentially was that maintain that attitude all the time. And I want to explain that one to us. We believers are supposed to maintain things all the time rather than doing things, you know, sporadically and, you know, let me use this word, episodically. Just wake up one day, you just have an episode of, you know, righteousness. And then you fast and fast and fast. At the end of a few days, you have finished the fast. You have gone back to a life of chopping anyhow, living carelessly, talking anyhow. Then till the next fast is declared. That's not Christianity. We may have practiced it like that without knowing, but that's not what Christianity is. Take rest as an example. God did not design that Christians should rest one day of the week, like Sabbath. The Sabbath of God for Christianity, read Romans, Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, is a continual thing. It's not something that you do only once in your life. The Sabbath of God for the believer is an attitude of life. So even when you are working, you should have a Sabbath rest in your heart. It will manifest periodically in that you totally physically rest. Do you get my point? Somebody like me, I told you, even preaching. God never commanded thou shalt preach 11 months of the year. But I preach only 11 months of the year. The 12th month, I don't preach. People, invitations in December, I generally don't like taking them. Next year, I might change it to October. I may discover that maybe as my ministry, all right, moves on, I discover that I bless people most. Maybe most places you're supposed to go is best in December. I can just shift my yearly personal Sabbath to January. But the point I'm making is this, there's a spirit of rest continually. The same thing with the fast of God. I'm not discussing that today. Maybe another time we'll get back to it, to study the book of Isaiah, I think chapter 58. When God was talking about the fast, you will see there that there's what he calls his own fast. I will not describe it now. Yes, Isaiah chapter 58. That God has a fast, and you will see, he said, is this a fast that I choose? That verse 5. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? What God was saying is that my fast is not a day. I don't know whether you get the point. I don't have to analyze it. The fast that God chooses for the believer is not one day. It's not a day thing. You don't set just one day for it. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something about the issue of prayer. In the same manner also, prayer for yourself as a Christian, all right, is supposed to be continual and constant. It is not something you set apart a weekend for. Do you understand my point? I don't even think it requires a particular day or time of the day. That is personal prayer. Please get my point. Because there are things you say, there are things come up in crisis. When crisis occur, you handle the crisis. If there's no crisis, there's what you are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So let's talk about the situation where there's no crisis. Prayers are meant to be offered continually. Please get that point. Continually. There's something I used to do, like everybody else. There's something that is up, and I say, okay, I'll pray about it maybe tonight. Then I discover a lot of times I don't pray about that thing that night. And maybe not even next morning. So what do I do? Sometimes we're just talking. My wife and I are just talking. I say, hey, wait, let's not pray. Just pray about it now. Now. There's nothing like now. You might tell me something now as I'm driving, all right? Most of the time I listen to a message in the car. I just shut down the message and then I start praying. You might see me drive by you and you see this man is talking. I'm not on the phone. I don't have Bluetooth, all right? My only spiritual tools that I'm using to connect with heaven. Do you understand my point? Because at that particular point in time, I begin to offer that prayer. And if it is something that will take a long time to manifest, all right? You are ministering to somebody, for praying for somebody as an example. Then every time I remember, okay, that thing also continues. But what I want to emphasize in my first teaching for this evening is that one that... Now, what I want to bring out, okay, is the issue of what we pray for ourselves personally. That's why I said all of this, and we read those scriptures. See, there's something the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, all right? It said, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And Jesus says something, when you want to pray, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. No, he said, don't worry about what I shall eat, what I shall drink, and where with us will I be clothed. He said, after these things, what happens? The Gentiles seek, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, it is not even pleasing to God that our prayer point for ourselves when we gather together, that's when we gather to pray for ourselves individually, is what we shall eat. Are you getting my point? Is it therefore that you will never say anything to God about what you shall eat? I'm bringing out something here. You see, God has already spoken words concerning your personal needs. That's what I'm going to explain. There are things he has already said about your life. I said something the first time we met about in this prayer matter two Tuesdays ago, that what God is doing is collecting words from us. Are you getting my point? With which to enforce his activity on the earth. What I mean is that to give him the legal right to do things on the earth. That is, there are two things that are important. The plan of God, that is the purpose of God, the will of God, that's number one. And then number two, the will of the people he wants to walk in. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is when you say, thy will be done. You've heard that thing before. Teach us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I listened to Larry Lee many years ago. And he explained something that one, thy will be done, was not as much a request as it is a command. That is, it's as if you are speaking, the will of God be done. Are you getting my point? Not as if, God, please do your will. No, it's more of, will of God, we are giving you the liberty and we are commanding that freedom be given to your execution. That is, when we speak what God wants to do, then his will is done on the earth. Are you following my point? That is, you open the door with your words to allow God to do what he wants to do. What am I saying? I remember again, those days we're learning the word of faith, somebody explained, I think was it WKN or something, that the life of Jesus, I don't have all the proof that they used to explain to us then, but I learned and never forgot, and I believe to be very, very true, was lived in Psalm 23. Are you getting my point? I'm watching my time. If that's all we do today, it will be time well spent. He said the life of Jesus was lived in where? Psalm 23. That is, you will discover that the prayers of Jesus did not include what he shall eat. Are you following the point? That what does he do? That he constantly lived a life, all right, in which he spoke the words of Psalm 23. You are getting what I'm explaining. That is, it was a constant declaration of what God was doing in his life that he always maintained. And that's my charge for you today. There are things that God has spoken concerning you. Are you getting my point? The job you have as a believer, I said something to us then when we were talking about the Christian's warfare, is to maintain a constancy of faith even in the midst of adversity. That troubles may come to your life, don't change your mind. Are you getting my point? Adversity may attack you, don't change your mind. For example, you have found that he said that I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, it is not a right thing to go and settle down, listen to this, and start praying that God, my enemies, let them not overcome me. I don't know whether you get my point. It is not right for a believer, hear this, to gather with himself and begin to pray against the people in his hometown that don't like him. Now listen to this. I believe it's actually wrong also for a Christian to settle down and start praying. All the curses that were released against me by our ancestors, in the name of Jesus Christ, they shall not overcome me. I cancel them. I cancel them. Right now, I cancel them. Return to sender. Listen, it's a waste of time. I've said a lot of prayers we pray. They are not actually to God. They are to convince ourselves that we have done something. Did I give you this illustration before? There are different reasons you give drugs to children. That's as a doctor. There are drugs you give to a sick child because the child is sick. And there are drugs you give to a sick child to calm the mother down. You hear what I said? There are drugs you give to a sick child because the child is sick. You see, a child has malaria. And you're a doctor and they brought the child to you. So you give the child treatment for malaria. So he has to swallow the syrup. But then there are times the child can maybe, what's the problem? He's been stooling. Normally he stools only once or twice in a day. But the last 3 days, doc, he has been stooling like 7 times in 1 day. Wasn't the stool? Just watery. Any blood? No. Any mucus? No. You check the child is playing. Is it vomiting? No. Now, a normal doctor who is used to this kind of thing in Africa will look and tell the mother, don't worry. Make sure the child is eating constantly. If it doesn't have any fever, she tells you no. All right, don't worry. After some days, it may be up to 10 more days sometimes. This thing will go away. But how are you going to tell a woman that she's going to be packing shit for the next 10 days? Hey, my God. And what treatment do you say? Just make sure that he takes his ORS and Number one, an African family, they don't go grippy for consultation because you never give injection, nothing. So sometimes you give a battery of syrup. Take this in the morning. This one must be at exactly 15 minutes past 12. As if it's a spiritual medicine. Our doctors did a lot. And the woman is very happy. Thank you, doctor. How much is my bill? She quickly pays. All those drugs were given to the mother, not to the child. The child is the one swallowing them, but the mother's sick. Usually, smart doctors know what they give. It's usually some multivitamins, some drugs that have no serious effects, either for good or for bad. Now, I'm not. There's what we call placebo. Doctors even give what they call placebo to adults. There are people you know that this is their problem. It's not even spiritual self. You know what I'm saying? It's just the man is disturbed. So you give him some tablets to take. If you're a very good, one of my friends, what he used to do is, he will give you injection. You come to his clinic every day for like 1 week to come and take this injection in the evenings. I know the injection. Aquapaperazione, something like that. Injection water, written in Italian. That's all. I'm serious. He showed it to me. He said, "Banky, if you don't give it to them, they won't trust you. They think you don't know what you are doing." He knows the man's treatment is the tablet. And he has given it to him. He said, "But the man will not believe you know what you are doing." So every day he has to return for 1 week, taking this injection every evening. What is the injection? Sterile water. And for information, water, when you inject into your muscle, is painful. Yeah, because it's hypotonic. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's painful. So the man endures the pain every evening. And he's very grateful. My friend said, look, Banky, you don't give it to these people. they just think you don't know what they are doing. What I'm going to say is that we do the same thing with prayer. Some of the prayers we pray, God said, it's for yourself. It's not for me. That is, you're praying it to satisfy yourself that you have prayed. You cannot just relax and believe that nothing is going to go wrong. So what you do is that you fast and you pray. Do you understand my point? So you can stand assuredly that indeed you have tackled the situation. Meanwhile, if you are just simply gone to sleep, all right, believing that there's no problem, you will have discovered that the same results will have showed. Because all the arrows you fired against the curses coming to you from the village, you should have understood that those things couldn't hit you in the first place. Just go and hear Balaam and hear what he had to say about it. They couldn't have hit you in the first place. I've heard it all the time. One day, one crazy woman was displayed in front of her house. She was passing, and this woman had gone mental. No, I don't mean that's a joke. She had an acute mental problem. From my window, I was hearing shout. Sometimes they pay me, say I know they speak Igbo. You know, I should learn the language, you know. Because they quarrel in other tongues, and I can't hear it. But, you know, you can perceive what they are saying, because half is in English, half is in their native tongue. So, but I knew the woman, either something triggered her, you know, maybe, it may not even be frank mental illness. It may just be a serious situation that caused her to behave like that. But after a while, they gathered, trying to restrain her. And, I mean, late middle age to elderly woman. She won't be like, maybe around 60, thereabouts. Give it or take a few years. Some people came to restrain the woman. Okay, come, let us go. Follow us to the car. No, follow us to the house. And she refused. She sat on the floor. Along the line, she would turn to one woman. Something like, you know, go better for you. You know, those kind of things. And then that one starts canceling. In Jesus' name, no. I rebuke it. I turn it back. Return. I said, look at it. A crazy woman is talking. And look at you. You have turned yourself to a crazy person also. No, really. This happened like a week ago. I was just looking at them. The woman was, I don't know what was her issue. She would talk. That one will start canceling it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I went to market one day with a lady. That time, I was going to get married, so I wanted to buy some things. I wasn't getting married yet. I was trying to finalize the arrangement to get married. Do you understand what I mean? So, I now begged one of my friends and neighbor, please, follow me to the market. I want to go and buy something for the young woman. She said, all right. So we went to the market. As we're going from one shop to the other, I wanted to buy some jewelry and stuff like that. Along the line, something happened that surprised me. So we're pricing, no, this one is too expensive. You know the way it is in the market. Another woman in the market, whether she was trying to wash a cup or pour water and so on, anyway, she splashed water. And the water hit the lady we came to market together. To my shock and amazement, she began to cancel the water. I don't know what you heard I said. In Jesus' name, it will not work. In Jesus' name, I rebuke it. In Jesus' name, I'm like, auntie, waiting to happen. I said, Banky, I better let us go. This one, they are already sprinkling water. 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 Bath me with the water, I said, I no go shift. Just give me correct price before I go. That's my own. He said, it's already, you know, this kind of canceling in Jesus' name, return to sender, we rebuke it, blood of Jesus.
water. If na acid, what will you now do now? If you have used this potency of defense against water. He said, it is the spirit in the water. There is no spirit in the water that did not evaporate when he started moving towards me. The devil that they put inside water, they want to splash on me. That devil wants to come out from earth early. Before the day of judgment. May they use water, splash devil on me. There's no devil that's not afraid. In fact, as they are throwing the water, you know, the hand that's scattering the water and the devil, the water will move, the devil will just remain, enter the person's body, say, you decrease, you want to kill me. Listen to me, that's the life of the believer. Do you know why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because we are seated with Christ on the right hand of God in the heavens. That's a matter of fact. So how do believers pray? That's what I'm going to talk about. Pray for themselves. You know what they do? They constantly affirm that which God has spoken about them. So when you wake up in the morning, you speak to the day. It's a good day. Because I'm a child of God. The path of the just like the light of dawn is shining brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So in the name of Jesus, my feet are bathed in butter. The rocks will pour for me streams of oil. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Are you getting my point? It's constant. As you are entering your car, as you are opening the door, Father, I thank you. Because you are the almighty provider. Listen to me. As a need arises. Now listen, this is where the test is. And you don't have money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is where the real test is. Are you going to slow down and begin to revise? Has God really said, you know the way Eve and Satan had their discussion? That's really where Satan defeats people. He said, has God really said that though the young lions lack and suffer hunger, those that fear the Lord shall not lack anything good? He said, yes, he said so. Bros, in the last 2 days, what has happened? Then you know, you start revising it. Then you leave the confession on provision for a while. Are you getting my point? You put your confession somewhere else. You are not so sure anymore. As I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this devil that's taking away my food. I rebuke the devil that's taking away my provision. Listen to me. If you don't have food for 2 days, are you hearing me? And you have examined yourself and there's nothing wrong with you, then you were not meant to eat for 2 days. Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. It was the 2 days that God appointed that you should learn what it means to be hungry. I wish you would believe me that I'm not trying to make you feel good. There are seasons in life that God appointed that you should learn some lessons. I always tell people, they say, in Jesus' name, I'm marrying this year. I said, no, wahala. Just go and propose this year first. No, be so. Let somebody agree to your proposal this year and marry. If by December 30th, nobody has agreed to propose that, it's not likely you will marry this year. You have not sinned, though. You have not done anything wrong. It is just the year that God said that this year you shall not marry. I don't know whether you get my point. It doesn't mean you are not blessed. A young man came to me once. He said, Pastor, we need to talk. I said, what is the problem? From here, you know, it's one of the people that I agreed to talk to. He said, I read the book, The Blessing. I have listened to your message on The Blessing. I said, It looks like The Blessing is not working in my life. In case he listens to this message one day, I'm sure he's laughing. He's not here right now, but in case he listens to the message one day. So I said, tell me. He told me he tried this one. This one went wrong. He did this one. This one went wrong. When he was in his service. This one went wrong. When he finished, I said, have you finished? He said, yes. I said, you know your problem? He said, what? I said, you are a spoiled child. He said, you're spoiled. I said, listen, let me tell you stories. I began to tell him things that had gone wrong in my life. I said, now look at me. Can it come from your mouth to tell me I'm not blessed? He looked me. I said, so you see, you actually don't have a problem. I don't know the Satan that has woken you up to point to the things that are right, that are wrong in your life. Then I began to tell him the things that were right in his life. And he was looking at me. My friend, get up and get out from my house now. You don't have work. Sent me a text a few days ago, about a week or two ago, and told me the good thing that God did for him at the end of his youth service. When he was going to the place to go and serve, he wasn't sure. I said, don't worry, just relax, go. Then, he hasn't come back from service. Service has ended. Do you know why? Number one, he won a state award. The man that was not blessed, though. Because then when he would come, we would chat a bit. He said, to make his stay more useful, he decided to be teaching secondary school people. You know the kind of things that we discuss. Then after a while, he decided to do another thing. Just try. If it was while he was trying to do some of those things, that something went wrong one day that he felt he was not blessed. At the end of the day, what happened? NYSA gathered and gave him a state award for all the work he did during youth service. And instantly, the state government retained him on a full medical salary, medical officer salary, full pay, instantly from the day NYC ended. When they sent me the text telling me everything, I replied, I said, God wanted to prove to you that you are blessed after all. Now, are you getting what I'm going to explain? He came that we should pray so that these blessings will really be his. And I told him, your problem is that you're a spoiled child. You think everything that goes wrong in life, it means that you are not a blessed person. I hope you are getting my point. Look, listen, something has gone wrong. I told her, look, as a young man, is it time that everybody, everything should go wrong? So you will know where things are supposed to go wrong. Otherwise, how will you teach people later that don't do like that? It doesn't work like that. The righteous man is the one that God says for us how many times? How many times? How many times? The fall there, like I said, it's not that he's talking about righteous man falling into sin. No. It means that the man builds a business, he collapses. And that's a righteous man, a blessed man. It is not as if, it's not as if God doesn't know how to preserve everything. No. It's just that there are times God will tell you, look, okay, do this, it collapses. Good, I wanted you to learn that properly. These are the principles of collapse. It's part of the blessing. I'm telling you, it's part of the blessing. It's part of the blessing. God created Adam and Eve naked. You think they were supposed to walk naked all their life? No. No. Ah, it was okay. Why it was only Adam and Eve? Very soon that man will be married. Wearing clothes is not a matter of sin. But Adam was going to learn how to weave clothes. Adam was going to, one day, Eve will go a long distance and they won't be able to talk. Adam was going to devise how to fly. His descendants were going to invent the GSM phone. When they didn't have it, didn't mean they were not blessed. But they had to grow up to the level where they would do what? Invent those things. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? The problems we have in life is at the point of trial, what do we now start saying? Is that saying the reason why I like one thing my pastor said once. He said, you ask a fat woman, why are you normal? He said, I'm too fat. You ask a slim one, he said, I'm too slim. He said, meanwhile, go on Sunday, go around. You see fat people getting married, slim people getting married. There's nothing. But Satan sells a story to us and we believe it. I call them excuses for Satan. How do Christians pray for themselves? I'll tell you. They constantly affirm that which God has said about their lives. The day you know you had it made is when you pray the same prayer when you had money and when you don't have money. Are you getting my point? That you wake up in the morning and you check your pocket. 50K day here, we not get purpose. You know what I mean by money without purpose? There's money that you know this is landlord's money. The woman I bought shirt from, this is her money. Yeah, you have the money, but you get purpose. But there's a way you've cleared everything. There's nothing. In fact, even offering, you have given the offering. They say, bring a special offering for the promotion of the gospel. You've already dropped in fact, as of yesterday, you've paid all the money you needed to pay. Then this money, 50K enter the pocket. No purpose. And by evening, another one is coming. You understand what I'm going to explain? And then you look and say, Father, I thank you. God of miracle. Now, my papa, I thank you. God is my all-sufficient God.
That's a very good prayer to pray on such days. Then on that day, wakes up in the morning, you have 50K in the red. That is, the month is ending by tomorrow. Rent is due. School fees are due. A few other things are due. Totaling about 50K to solve. So not only don't you have money, you are owing. Do you understand my point? What do you now say? I'll tell you what you say in the same day, the same way. You wake up and say, Father, I thank you. God of miracle. Now my papa, Father, I thank you. Because indeed you are the all-sufficient God. That's how Christians pray for themselves. Are you hearing what I want to explain? I gave you my testimony once. Or let me say our testimony. Kingdom World Ministries. Our rent here was due. I did not even know it was at that time overdue. But I thought it was just about to be due. My own personal house rent was due. And the one that bothered me most then was this. That's Kingdom World own. And my typical self, I just, you know, gave God thanks about it, prayed about it, and then days were passing now. Hey, nothing they flow. Yeah. So one day I was climbing the stairs. I was thinking, what do I do now? What do I tell these people? I still remember very well, as I was climbing the stairs, suddenly I stopped. And I thought to myself, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, that Banky, how will you feel if tomorrow, is that okay? God supplied the money. How will you feel? I said, I will feel very bad for having been worried yesterday. She said, so why don't you just stop worrying now? There and then, I said, Father, I'm sorry. I thank you because you are the all-sufficient God. You supply all our needs, this and this. And I just gave thanks and I relaxed. Do you know the truth? I did not know that at that particular point in time, somebody was crediting our account with 800,000 naira. And crediting my own personal account with 200,000. He called me like a day after. I said, Pastor, hey, I paid some money into the ministry account. I said, yeah. Okay, I said, thank you very much. God bless you and all of that. So I told my wife, I said, I hope say this guy go feel pushed. I expected 40,000 there. There's a reason. It's somebody we've known for a long time. I said, God for just speak to this guy to push that to reach 100K for not bad though. I remember when I told my wife, I said, So he called me the following day, whether I had seen the money. I said, no, that I have not had time to go to the bank, but that why does he always do this? Why don't you just tell me how much money you paid? And I said, actually, it's 1 million naira, sir. I almost dropped the phone on the floor. He said, I paid 800,000 into Kingdom World account, and I paid 200,000 to your personal account. Wife, come. That day, I shouted. No, I literally screamed. Listen. The day I was on the stairs and having that conversation, at that time the money was already moving, either in his mind or physically. Because it was not up to 3 days after that he and I had the discussion. And by that time, the money had been lying there for some time. I just now had the time to go and check how much this young man paid into our account. If I felt like paying it, let me just pay this our land maybe like 3 years in advance. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So that is the same prayer when the money was there was just appropriate when it appeared as if it was not there. What am I saying? Let me summarize. Really, I've taken most of the time. I hope you've learned something anyway. That is how Christians pray for themselves. If you see last time, that's what we did. We stood up here and we declared several things about your life, about your destiny, about your everyday, you know, your traveling. Lord, this journey as we are going, in Jesus' name. All the devils on the road. I cancel. I'm sorry. That's the crap we've learnt in modern day, you know, idolatry converted to Christianity. Are you seeing people who never tell anybody where they are going? You've not seen them? Now this Lagos road bad. Now wow, this Lagos road. So we'll see tomorrow now. Thank God. The guy is packing. He's on his way to Lagos tomorrow. But he grew up knowing that when you tell people where you are going, they will go and wait for you on the road. One day, I told you the story before. My friend, he owned a clinic. The one I told you who used to give pure water to, you know what I mean, as injection. He had a clinic in the village then. He said one day one of his nurses said that woman had a bad mouth. That one guy was, one of his patients was lying on the bed. And the guy said he thinks people are after him and they want to kill him. And I've been saying that thing for days. So one day the nurse turned to him and said, Do you have a house? The guy said no. Do you have land? He said no. You have money, plenty in one bank account? He said no. He said, look, why should anybody want to kill you? You don't know it's expensive to kill. He said, okay, if you had a wife like that, okay, when they have killed you, they will collect. Who will understand? You don't have a wife. You don't have a house. You don't have land. What is it that they will gain now by killing you? So my friend, better wake up and go and face your problem. Somebody is chasing you. A lot of people, they don't want to tell anybody where they are going. You ask them, what will anybody get from icing you? But let's not even try and use logic, because that's not the issue. All right? Let's talk about the reality, the power of God. Anybody wants to wait on the road while I'm passing, he should at least write a will. That's the least he can do for his family. Abi? Believe me. You know, so counseling is not necessary. Are you getting my point? Because there's nothing written there that has not been canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? There's nothing written that has not been canceled by the blood of Jesus. No, so what is it? You want to travel to make everybody happy as you start on the journey. Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, you are here as always. The angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him and delivers them. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround the people, surround his people. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, I thank you. Because indeed, my life is not an accident. I was having a discussion with one of my colleagues yesterday in the office. He said, this death thing, I don't believe Satan has the power to kill anybody. I said, you are dead right. Listen, Satan does not have the power to kill anybody. He said, look, I don't believe we just die by accident. It's true. Nobody dies by accident. People die by appointment. Did I hear an amen? People die by what? Appointment. If it is not appointed for you to die, believe me, you are not going to die. And I'm telling you, if you hold on to God and you have set your heart on following his will and his purpose for your life, then it's not appointed for you to die early. It's not. You're not going to save the world. Are you getting my point? Yes, you won't. The person was supposed to die to save the world. You know, he did that. And in fact, after that, you know what he did? He quickly resurrected again so that nobody will make the mistake of thinking that that's the way we normally do it. You understand the joke I'm cracking there? Therefore, even bad road can't kill you. You hear what I said? Don't overspeed, though. But overspeeding will not kill you. Oh my God, I wish God would give you understanding. You know why you should not overspeed? So that you will not tempt those who overspeed is going to kill to overspeed. Let me tell you the truth. In my living, listen to this. In my life and in my death, I will glorify God. Did you hear what I said? In my living and in my dying, God must be glorified. It's nothing like, what happened? What happened? And he was blessing people, oh. What happened? This life is confusing. I don't understand. No, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. Nobody will say that because Pastor Banky died. Nobody. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You know what they are going to say? Oh, Father, we thank you. It was a good life. Oh, Father, we thank you. Was such a great man. He blessed us. God, even too, you were longing for his company. That was why you called him. That is, of course, it's not a 40-year-old man that died. I hope you know. He's not even 70. He's not even 80. Not even 90. Yeah, 103, 104, that kind of thing. Yes, I was reading the other day, on the internet, on the papers, a couple, they married for 87 years. Man and woman. 87 years anniversary. No, not age, marriage. Everything I talk to? Everything I talk? They have been married for 87 years. A long life will satisfy me.
and show me his salvation. What are you saying? You are saying amen. No, now how can you say amen? Say your own. Say it again. If I rise to your feet and say 10 times. And begin to say many things. Let me give you a few instructions on what God has said. Psalm 23. The Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. Begin to say it. Say it in your own words. Declare, you are not in lack. You are not in need. You are well supplied. God is your father. He died that you may have all good things. There is no force of evil working against you that can overcome you. Declare, you are an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ. Repeat that. Say, I'm an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ. I am not a failure in the name of Jesus Christ. I am not subject to poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, I have risen above them all. Say it loud. In Christ Jesus, I have risen above death. In Christ Jesus, I have risen above lack. In Christ Jesus, I have risen above poverty. Declare loud, in Christ Jesus, I have risen above sickness and diseases. Say that one again. In Christ Jesus, I am above sickness. I am above Satan. I am above all diseases. Let me tell you something about illnesses, sickness, and all of that. Doctors have all kinds of stories to tell about them. I am so happy God did not make me an engineer. I'm serious. I'm very happy. I'm so happy God did not raise me a lawyer. For they argue on whether this is right or not. I'm happy God raised me and said, this guy, first be a doctor, learn diseases. I became a pathologist and I read a lot. And after reading and reading and reading and reading, in fact, I have a few of my students here who I taught pathology. I taught the pathology. Say amen. You too. Where are the other people? Okay, on Saturday, more of them will come. I know this thing. Nobody said they joke. Nobody said man they brag. It's my job. I know diseases more than most doctors you see around. Even if I can't treat it, I know the disease very well. And having read and read at the end of the day, you know what I discovered? All the doctors and scientists have inside there is called confusion. And I don't think that's a joke. If I was talking to medical people, I would like to give you a number of instances of what I call confusion. Let me give all of you one. How many of you know what they call peptic ulcer? Stomach ulcer. When you were young, what caused it? Acid. Thank you. There at the time they told you it was worry. You worry too much. You don't worry too much. Then one day a man said it's caused by bacteria. Cut a long story short, as of today, what is accepted the cause is bacteria. They call it Helicobacter pylori. Big name for nonsense. Do you understand my point? And you know when I see such things, I say be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I like one day, a friend of mine once when we were in school. I said, tell me about the physiology of fever. That is the pathophysiology of fever. I wanted to hear endogenous. We have big foolish names, we call those things. When we get there, we'll play the fool for everybody, all right? But right now, let's tell the truth. By the time I finished, hey, do you know? He said, listen, my friend, there's one cause for fever. I said, what is it? He said, it's called devil. Leave me alone. Sounds like a joke, but I believe him. He was a medical student too, senior to me. Now, what am I going to explain? I saw doctors go left, right, center. Today, this is caused by this. Right now, every disease, they are looking for it inside the genes. Every disease. Every disease. If I tell you this, you know what they call sickle cell disease? Right now, the investigation is on which kind of fish you eat. You won't believe what I'm telling you. Okay. On what causes crisis? Are you eating the proper kind of fish or not? You know Professor Okwala? Yes. They study. If they gave a lecture in the neck here, I was laughing to myself as a spiritual man. I was laughing inside my soul. I said, there we go again. He has shattered everything I knew until that day as a doctor. He came with all kinds of stories. Now we have found out this. I said, Oga, where are we right now? We are checking the fatty acid content of the cell membrane. So they are trying to do a study amongst in those who have the disease in riverine areas. Let's see how it manifests. I said, so it's back to fish. All kinds of stories. They say it's the genes. I said, well, I agree. I know the genes also. But think about it. All of us came from one father.
Is that not so?
We all did. How come our genes are so different? I said, whatever be the thing that separated our genes, so that some became disease genes and some became healthy genes, there is a force called the force of life, the power of his resurrection that's found in Christ Jesus that will rearrange every gene. Are you getting my point? That there is a force, and that's Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, so that we see how these genes went through haywire and return it to where it's supposed to be. I'm going to come to something. I know scientists will come to this one day. They will discover at the end of everything, all right, it has to do with the relationship of a man, of a woman with his God. It can manifest as low iodine in the soil, as bad genes, whatever be the manifestation. If any man is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature. All things, including all the nonsense causes of disease that they said, are passed away. They have all become what? New. Listen, if you focus on scientific evidence, you will see plenty of things too. One of my colleagues, his son died a few days ago. And we had to do an autopsy on the young boy. And we found what killed him. He was there. Look at it. This is what happened. The story, in fact, because I happened to be an area that I know very well. So I was speaking all the grammar. And as I was saying it, I knew I didn't believe a word of it. Yeah, it's because of this. Possibly the myosin genes. There's this hypertrophy. There's this one. And the same. So it's going to happen. The whole family is going to get ECGs. And not because of this. There are two types. There's obstructive, non-obstructive. As I was saying it, I knew I didn't believe a word of all of this. One evil spirit came and he slaughtered the boy. That's all this one is saying. Eh? I don't care. A colleague of mine, his son died. You know, days before, the daughter was dreaming. I said that there are strangers coming to the house. There were angels that came to take the boy away. I'm not joking about this. We had stories to tell about why the boy died. We had stories to tell. We can give you the molecular configuration of the things that went wrong. But the young girl in the house, for days before then, she will dream, either she's dreaming or awake, but she will see people come and go that nobody else saw. They're a Christian family. They were not evil spirits. In Enugu here, are you getting my point? So one day, suddenly the boy took ill. He had a fever. Before the rock, next thing they knew that he was dead. But for days before, his sister had known that some people had been calling and saying, okay, boy, let us go. A young girl, not a church person, who was saying, hey, pastor, pray. Not a young girl, maybe the girl like 8 or so. And she had known for days that they have come to take my brother away. There's nothing. We can say all the story we want to. Life is spiritual. Are you getting my point? Therefore, when you use your words, you are connecting to spiritual power. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Let's do some of it again. Declare again, say, in the name of Jesus, I've been redeemed. I am not under the power of the enemy. My life is in God's hands. I can never die by chance. Death is not an accident. Lay your hand upon yourself. Say, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. From the top of my head, touch your feet to the soles of my feet. In the name of Jesus, I'm well totally. Satan has no part in me. Say, I speak against every lying spirit. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I will not believe you anymore. In Christ Jesus, I'm totally redeemed. In Christ Jesus, I'm totally redeemed. There's nothing they can say as cause. Listen, I will tell, if some, tell somebody, say, the person he has is about to die, tell the person, say, Pastor Banky said, you don't have to die. He said, I was very loose and promiscuous. He said, that was then. If any man be in Christ, he says, able to save to the uttermost anyone that will draw near to God by him. Listen, we have not come to play church. You understand my point? Christianity is not which church do you go to. It's not which church you go to. No. It's God looked and said, the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Then he said, we have come to say so as to rearrange things that were wrong. The first job you have, all right? Because if you are sending soldiers to war, in fact, I was watching the other day on CNN how they check to be sure the soldier is very fit so that he doesn't fall sick in battle. You follow what I'm trying to explain? The first job we have is to rearrange ourselves very well so that we can, look, you see, because if you go praying, my problem, oh, I have a problem, you cannot pray effectively for things that are bigger than that. Therefore, let's settle that. In Christ Jesus, you are well. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you are not poor. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
The Bible says it makes all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Bless yourself again with any word you like so that we can close. Say, in the name of Jesus, it is well with my soul. Everything that I touch prospers. Satan has no part in me. I'm not confused. I'm not a failure. I'm not subject to his temptations. I have the Spirit of Christ. I'm a righteous man, a righteous woman in Christ Jesus. Holiness is my portion. Holiness is my portion. Righteousness is my portion. I walk in the manner that is pleasing to God. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. Except it is the word of God. Except it is the vision of God. I focus on those things that are above. In the name of Jesus, the life of God dwells in me. In the name of Jesus, it overcomes death. I am not afraid of failure because I will not fail. I'm not afraid of death because Jesus has swallowed up death in victory. I live in Christ. I live in Christ. I live in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, I am alive. Bless yourself. Say, Lord, I believe you. I hold on to this. One more prayer point. Let's just pray that prayer and then we'll close with it. Ephesians chapter 6. That our prayer, which I learned from the great man Kenneth Hagin those days to pray, and I think Christians should pray for themselves all the time, from verse 16. But friend, let's just start from verse 18. Just read and pray for yourself. Say, I pray. Just repeat after me. Say, I pray that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. I desire to know the hope of God's calling for my life. I desire to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want to know and experience his power that works towards those who believe. Say, Lord, give me understanding, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint me with hearing ear. Anoint my ears to hear in the name of Jesus. Anoint my eyes to see the visions of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint my heart to have understanding in your ways in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, help me to know you in Jesus' mighty name. Let's just wave our hands and give the Lord thanks because he's so good. Say, Father, we thank you. We worship you. You are a good God. We have a God like you that's above all other gods. If you are on our side, who can be against us? You have said you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Therefore, I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He said, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. Just say something. Say, Lord, you are my refuge. I thank you. You are my defense. I thank you. You are my provider. I thank you. You are my God. I thank you. You hold my life in your hands. Lord, I thank you. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. For you sent your son to die for me. There's nothing else you will not do for me. I thank you. Oh, Lord, I drink of your spirit. I drink of your goodness. Every day I walk in your presence. I am glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm glad when your word comes forth. I am glad to know you. Lord, thank you. You are the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. He said, your words were heard, and I did eat them. Your word was found, and I did eat them. And they became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Thank you, Lord, because you are the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. In the name of Jesus Christ. It won't be good for us to depart without blessing our country and our state. Say, upon Enugu, we declare peace in the name of Jesus. Say it again. Upon Enugu, we declare peace in the name of Jesus. Upon Enugu, we declare peace in the name of Jesus Christ.
upon Enugu, we declare that no activity of armed robbers will succeed in Jesus' name. We frustrate all kidnappers in the name of Jesus Christ. We condemn every unrepentant one to death in the name of Jesus. We declare peace upon our land in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's prophesy upon the Church of God in Nigeria. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, truth will flow in you. Say, body of Christ in this nation, we declare in the name of Jesus that truth will flow through you. Say, you will be indeed the pillar of truth on this earth. Declare, say, in the name of Jesus, confusion will not reign in the body of Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, men, that is people, individuals, will not be the idols, but Christ alone will be the one we will put our eyes upon in Jesus' name. Declare that in many words. Let's make it simple. Say, in Jesus' name, Christ will be exalted in you in Jesus' name. Say, Christ will be exalted in you in the name of Jesus. Say, Christ will be exalted in every congregation that names the name of the Lord. Christ alone will be exalted. So we declare that he will take his proper throne in the Church of God in this nation in the name of Jesus. That truth will be precious to us. We will love truth more than everything else. We will love truth more than material possession. We will love truth more than visibility. We will love truth more than vainglory. We will love truth more than anything else in the name of Jesus. That the word of God will prosper in this nation. Let us declare that the word of God will prosper in this nation. That the Church of God will prosper by his word in the name of Jesus Christ. That the Church of God will prosper by his word in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Then upon our nation, let's just declare again. Say, peace upon this land in Jesus' name. Prosperity upon this land in the name of Jesus. And those of us in Enugu, we have a privilege, so we can use it. Say, as we have seen roads in Enugu, we will see them nationwide in Jesus' name. Say that in 10 times. Any number of them. Enugu, we see them nationwide in the name of Jesus. As we have seen roads in this town, we will see them nationwide in the name of Jesus. Development will come to every part of this country in the name of Jesus Christ. Even the leader that doesn't want to do that, he will find himself doing it in the name of Jesus. God is the supplier. He is the provider. He will provide for this whole nation in the name of Jesus Christ. As we have seen development in this state, we will see yet more in the whole nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare that security is our portion in Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Nationwide security is our portion. No terrorists will survive in this land in the name of Jesus. You go by any name, Boko Haram, whatever it is, we declare that this land is too hot for you. You cannot survive. The Church of God will prosper. The word of Christ will prosper in this nation. Declare, say, we take Nigeria over for Christ in the name of Jesus. We take the seat of government over for Christ in the name of Jesus. We declare that the purpose of God will be done in this land in the name of Jesus. Let's summarize everything in these few words. Say, O nation Nigeria, peace be upon you in Jesus' name. And prosperity within thy walls in the name of Jesus Christ. Say that once again. Say, O this nation Nigeria, peace be upon you in the name of Jesus. And prosperity within thy walls in Jesus' name. Father, we give you thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Because he's so good. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Amen. Let's just share the grace in fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, now listen, God's goodness and his mercy, his loving kindness, his abundance will follow you all the days of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will love the word of God and the truth of Christ more than your necessary food in Jesus' name. Amen.
it is well with you. I say it is well with you. It is well with your soul. It is well with you in all that you do. Everywhere you live, peace has come upon that house because of you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told the disciples, and when you get to a house, say to them, peace upon this house. I give you a commandment also. As you get back home, as you step into your home, into your hostel, or the room you are sharing with 25 other people, I don't care. As you are stepping in, just look at that house, that room, and say, peace upon you in the name of Jesus. God said, if a man is of peace is there, it will abide there. See, I am the man of peace, it will abide there. Do you understand my point? That is where you are living. Alright? You know what peace means? Peace is not just quietness. There's no trouble. No. Peace means prosperity. Peace means security. Are you getting my point? Therefore, even though you don't have a fence and your key is bad, that word, peace upon this home, is more than 1,000 garrisons of soldiers. Did you hear what I said? That is, there's no fence. So just look at your house. When they are telling stories here, this when they and they kill people. And say, when you finish hearing the story, turn to your own home and say, this house, peace upon you. That's a whole army of angels, not human beings. So, of what? Of angels. You know, when they came to arrest Elisha,
I was sleeping.
I asked my master, how shall we do?
And they confessed.
Okay, this is a serious matter. You are sleeping. Relax, oh boy. Those who are on our side are more than those who are against them, who are against us. Say, don't worry. Now, you know the interesting part? Elisha came out and went to meet them. And, you know, there were nobody physical, but what are people looking for? They couldn't even recognize who they were looking for. That's how God works. He doesn't always walk with boom, boom, shooting. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Listen again. Those who are on your side, defending you, protecting you, and more than all the rogues in Nigeria put together, in the name of Jesus Christ. No evil shall befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling place, in the name of Jesus Christ. When you get home, walk around your perimeter, and declare again that peace upon this home, and prosperity within these walls, in the name of Jesus. The Lord is good.